We'll do everything.
Setting off the fireworks out there.
Already? Must be celebrating for Australia.
It's Orthodox Halloween.
Happy New Year, everyone, and welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So David's balls have dropped, meaning it's New Year's, and they dropped off. And there we go.
The descending of my testicles, celebrating New Year.
I think it's just old age. I think that's just something that naturally happens.
It could be that, too.
Our last episode ended better than this one. We just recorded as a chunk of episode, and Dave forgot to do something.
I forgot it.
And so we're trying to recreate the magic of last time.
We'll always try and do it.
Okay. So you should introduce yourself. By the way, that's your character. No, you introduced yourself. That was your character, which is Little David Dedrick.
That's right.
Once again, we're going to describe what Little David Dedrick looks like. If you've seen The Elf on the Shelf, that's what Little David Dedrick looks like. He sits on a shelf here at Hello Kitty Studios, only speaks once a year, magically comes to life anytime your wife comes in the room.
Only on New Year's Eve.
But why don't you introduce...
Magically comes alive.
I've kind of spilled the beans on who's here, but why don't you introduce... by the way, I'm Ian Boothby, regular size. Go ahead.
Let me talk, please.
You have the floor, little David Dedrick.
I get to be here once every fucking year.
Yeah, but you got a foul mouth. That's why we shut you up. Do your intro.
I apologize, everyone, for losing my temper. It's rather short, like me. I'd like to introduce our special guest today. It's my wife, Lisa Williamson. She's come all the way from beautiful downtown Aldergrove to say hi to everyone. She was on the show once before, doing a kind of a silly voice.
And we said we'll never do silly voices again.
And we were lying. And also, why not? Because what the heck? It's the New Year, everyone! And also, my wife is a wife! My voice is going even higher!
Hello.
Oh, it's such silliness.
And that voice is grounds for divorce.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I live in a house of voices.
In a house of voices?
No one knows.
That's called schizophrenia.
That's possible? I'll have to ask my wife. Do you have schizophrenia?
No, I don't think she does.
I might.
Wait,
might,
hold it.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well,
there you go.
I don't want to say anything in case you do. Go. That's fair enough.
So anyway, this is my beautiful wife, Lisa Williamson.
Hello.
Yes, we've met before.
Only sharp one-word answers. It's a real Frost-Nixon thing by the end of this. Started friendly, then just got terse. And now let's play the tapes.
So
welcome to a brand new year for those of you that are listening right now. It's still 2015 when we're recording this. We're about to go to a New Year's party at our friends David and Allison's.
Yay!
Yeah, there. Dave's going to be bringing that voice. But to you, it's 2016, so you know what the future's like more than we do. We're still living in the past,
still in the past.
We're still talking about, and we did talk a little bit about it in our Lost episode that we didn't record.
Let's bring it back.
The great earthquake of 2015.
The great earthquake of 2015.
Let's have a moment to remember. Let's have a moment to forget.
Moment of silence.
Now let's have a moment of loudness.
Yes!
That'd be funny. After a moment of silence, now let's have a moment of loudness. and you've got to like make a lot of noise. So why don't you guys say where you were when the great earthquake happened?
Where were you, dear?
I was sleeping.
You were sleeping?
That's not unusual. Next to you. So that's a terrible thing to ask.
I think it happened around 11:30-ish? 11:40?
Might have been closer to midnight, but okay.
Closer to midnight? Yeah. Okay. I'm not too sure when I went to bed, but I had just gone to bed.
Right.
And I was kind of laying there counting my...
Money?
No.
Because you do that when your wife's asleep, so she doesn't see
counting
it.
My blessings.
Okay.
And then suddenly... The whole house started to like move back and forth.
Right.
And I thought someone jumped on the bed. No, I thought you don't know what's happening. And then I thought, oh, it's an earthquake. And then Lisa, you didn't wake up.
No, I didn't.
Which is unusual because you will wake up when a fly hits the window. So that's why I married her, because I cannot.
You hate flies.
I can't be woken up by anything. You know, so I need this. I need a defense, like this sort of defensive device beside me who will be like, what was that? Or Dave, there's a fire. You're on fire. Get out of bed.
Now the earthquake was a 4.8.
Yeah.
And the Richter scale is weird because it doubles every number, right? Isn't that how that goes? Am I incorrect about that?
I don't know which. Which Richter scale are you using?
I'm using the Richter scale that people use to measure earthquakes. Oh, okay. I'm using the Andy Richter scale.
That's what I thought.
All right, so quintuplets, that would be the lowest. Andy Richter controls the universe.
Yeah.
Then it goes Cabin Boy. Then it goes early Conan. Then it goes later Conan.
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically what
I was
using.
You're putting later Conan ahead of early Conan?
I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know
I'm
what you're doing
I'm just making
either.
Up this bullshit.
No, it seemed like you were wrong.
Well, anyway.
Anyhow,
thanks for asking where I was during the earthquake. Oh, I'll be back to your wife. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. No, don't come back, please.
Where were you? Where were
we were driving a car. We didn't know anything happened. And my mother-in-law called and said, there's an earthquake. Are you alive? And it's like, yes, that small, we're okay.
Yeah.
We survived. And then, of course, the news went, is the big one coming? Yes, one day.
No.
It, just like it always was.
Yeah.
And it continues.
You can keep on trying to make a scared news. What's funny is that we had more problems, more damage from a windstorm in the summertime than from an earthquake at Christmas. So that this says a lot about our earthquakes here.
Mm-hmm.
And that the Rowie is a disappointment.
Don't say that. Don't tempt fate.
I'm not tempting fate.
You kind of are. What are we going like, our earthquakes, they ain't nothing.
They think they're so big.
They are, they could be. There's very that is a true fact. I remember when I moved here when I was 11.
Yeah.
We were told, you know, the big one's just around the corner.
Yeah.
But the big thing we were worried about was Bigfoot as kids. We were like more concerned with Bigfoot attack because that was also right around the corner was a Bigfoot attack.
Sure. Yeah, it's all around the corner.
But what we were talking about again in our lost episode was how a lot of people posted online that the first thing they thought when they woke up to a bed shaking was ghosts. They went like, oh, ghosts. And then it was like, nope, not ghosts. And then number two is earthquake. But our first thought is ghost attack.
That's weird. To me, it's weird.
Because we don't have ghost preparedness kits, but we do have earthquake preparedness kits.
Well, it's sad. And it's just like, what a weird go-to in your mind, the ghosts. Like, why? What is it?
Because, you know, you wake up and it's dark and your bed's shaking.
So
ghosts.
But what?
What else? What else would it be but ghosts?
I don't know. How about an earthquake?
Yeah, that's number two. That's the second thing you go to.
Shouldn't the most logical thing that's going to happen be the thing that it is?
Oh, but you don't have logic when you just wake up. When you first wake up, logic? No. You know, you think you just wake up startled. You don't go, I should really eat better. Should really get my RSPs in order. No, you don't. You think.
I don't think that ever.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you've got earthquake drills at the school. You teach.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Now, do you have earthquake drills at your school?
Yes, we do.
And
we have to hide underneath a desk and count to 60, and then you count to 60 again, and then you might have to evacuate, and they play fake earthquake noise.
Oh, really?
Though they do, yeah.
Is it just
scary
recordings of teachers' hungry stomachs rumbling?
It is, yes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And so, now, how much protection is there from desks from falling roofs?
I think okay. I don't know.
Well, it was good enough for atomic bombs. It's gonna be okay for earthquake. What are you saying?
You're
saying this is just to lull kids into a false sense of security while the teacher takes off.
It feels like it is.
You know, like a ghost.
Frank Zappa was playing at a theater. He had a residency at a theater in New York City, and during one concert, the theater caught on fire and was actually seriously on fire. And so he stood up on stage and he told the audience, he said, everybody, just don't panic. But we do. I don't think he said don't panic, because that's the worst thing you could say. He said, everybody, I want you to stand up and file, you know, single file out of the theater right now. We have a fire. And so everyone's training took over. All their school training took over. They all stood up and carefully, you know, single filed out of the theater in an organized manner. And everyone was fine. You know, instead of having this mass panic and everyone plugging up the doorway and then people dying, being trampled to death and
stuff, which has happened, right? Yeah, we had to do that according to height. So all the short kids would get out and all the tall ones would burn, you know, should it come down to
everyone knows that tall people can take care of themselves much better than anyone else.
Well, you could just crawl up into the roof, I guess, and just like scurry around until
you
find
reach the window.
Yeah, I suppose so. But that is something I remember when I was a kid going like, I don't want to be the tall guy. Shorty gets out first.
Yeah.
That's not going to, you're just going to breed short people then. That's the way that world, these aren't the only people that are going to start the world over again, admittedly. It's just one school.
That's weird that they would do that. Is that just one teacher had OCD? Just like the another classroom went out alphabetical
order. I think it's the same teacher that made you count to 60 twice.
Yeah.
And then make sure that you snap your fingers.
Snap your fingers, draw a square in front of you.
Wash your hands.
Move a box right and left 5 times.
Yeah.
Then the earthquake is over.
So now, magical.
Now, what's your drill in case of ghosts?
That we do not have.
You don't have a ghost
one?
No. There's no ghost protocol?
Nope.
Now, what about if there's a bomb?
There's a bomb? No protocol.
There's no protocol?
No, we do have red alert drills. And so red alert drills, you get locked in. And then when the all clear is given, then you have to evacuate. But now, we did have a bomb.
But isn't a lock-in when a person is attacking the school?
Well, red alert is any significant danger. So it could be wild animal.
Sasquatch?
Yeah, could be funnel cloud. Could be Sasquatch or
ghosts.
Ogopogo.
Ghost of a Sasquatch.
Anything like that, I guess. So, yeah, that sort of thing.
The ghost of Ogopogo?
Yeah, ghost of Ogopogo. or bomb. And, yeah, so we did have the bomb one in May or June this year. And
so how did they find out there was a bomb?
Well, there was not actually a bomb, as it turns out, surprisingly. But what happened was some kid, I'm assuming grade 8, had written in the washroom.
Why grade 8?
Well, that's what grade 8s do. Okay. I have a bomb. It was a nice day, you know. They wanted to get off school early. And so
they call days like that the bomb.
Right.
That's what the kids call them nowadays.
Yeah. So someone saw this written on the wall of the washroom stall, and it hadn't been there earlier at lunchtime. And so they reported it to the office. And so the office then called the RCMP and they all arrived. They were actually there on the scene, and they had closed the roads down before they got us out of the school, which I thought was a little weird. Anyway.
Not really.
I think so.
Why?
I would rather be out of the building, and then they can close the roads down if there's actually a bomb, rather than wait to close everything down, get them all set up, and then say, come out of the building. But that's just my personal preference.
They don't know who has the bomb, though. So they're closing the building against the potential threat, as well as against people passing by getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. I don't care about people passing by. But anyway,
that sounds like mad bomber talk to me.
So I had gone to the office, and I was walking back down the hallway, and then this announcement came on saying, teachers, have your students go home immediately. And we were like, what? And
and that was another eighth grader making that announcement.
What?
See, if you could just cut to that, Chase.
Yeah.
Just go on the speaker and fake that. You don't have to do a bomb threat. Just let all the kids go.
Yeah. So, yeah, the problem was that the kids wanted to, they wanted to stop and get stuff from their lockers and whatnot. So, yeah, we, you know, usually when we have an evacuation, it's very formal, like get out, get out, get out. But this time they didn't want to tell people what it was because they didn't want people to panic. And so it's just like, leave the school. No, like, leave the school now. And then we got locked out of the parking lot, too. So they were saying, everyone go home, go home. But you couldn't go home because your car is in the parking lot. And same with the students. So it's a high school. Everyone drives. So you have all these people milling around on the road. Hundreds of people milling around on the road waiting to get into the parking lot so they can get their car. Which is, but anyway.
This sounds like a very bad plan, this person who had the bomb.
Yes.
Because they probably were milling around too, and they're like, God damn it, my car's stuck in the parking lot.
They don't have a car,
they have
so
a
they
car,
went
yeah.
home. They went to the beach.
Good
it's all cool.
Good for them.
Plan worked out.
I like their go-gettingness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
real go-getter.
I was mentioning like the term mad bomber, which used to be a term.
Yeah.
If you look at that Muppet Mad Harry,
he's
a bomber. Bomb guy.
Yeah.
There's no mad bombers anymore. Everyone seems to just have a plan or have some religious motivation. There's no just crazy bastard with a bomb anymore. What happened to those guys?
Well, I don't think that they were mad anyway. I think that people just, you know, they're anarchists, you know, like they were actual anarchists, let's say. Like they actually had a...
Do you think like Harry from the Muppets is an anarchist? Do you think he's got a political agenda?
I do think so.
I think he just enjoys a bomb going off.
Well, I think that too.
But people have mad skills now, so I think that's sort of replaced it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to be a mad bomber anymore. You
this
have
is
mad
all
skills.
Encouraged by Mad Magazine. I don't even know why they let that thing be out there.
Again, anarchy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a bomb. There was a bomb in a theater that I was in this year. It was the Fantastic Four movie. Am I right, everybody? Hey, why do they keep making those? It's the fourth one. It's ridiculous.
Little Dave supports that joke.
All right, I forgot about Little Dave.
He's
forgot
still here.
I'm blurring now what we've talked about in our previous. This is the problem when you don't hit the switch. I never remember what...
Little Dave is sorry.
Yeah, no. Don't be that way.
Okay. Now, speaking of movies, now we don't want to be spoily magoos, but you guys saw the latest Battlestar Galactica movie, I heard.
We did.
All right. Star Wars. And what'd you think generally?
Thumbs up.
Yeah, I liked it.
And she's not a Star Wars fan. My wife did not like the original Star Wars films.
Okay. No. You know she's in the room and can talk for herself, right?
I'm just saying... What are you supposed to say? Give her.
Well, just normally she's not, and so you tell stories about her.
What did you think about the old Star Wars films, Mike?
Well, I remember seeing the commercials and thinking, oh, those poor people. All that money. They're just going
to
lose.
Well, you think they were
all
trying to raise money for the Star Wars people on Tatooine?
No, like it was just a thought, care you know, ad or here's something? Some people, they came up with this great idea. Let's do a show about outer space. I'm like, who's going to go watch that? New one. And then I watched it, and I'm like, yeah, I rest my case. Seriously.
To be fair, I think you were outside of the line of interest for that film. To me, anyway. I think, to me, it hit a certain sweet spot that I don't know if I watched it now, without any kind of background to it, if I would have the same interest in it or be as, I love the first film as much as I do.
We talked a little bit about this previously, but I found a way of like summing up what I feel of the first Star Wars movie, like Star Wars 4, whatever you're going to call it,
first
and
one.
Empire Strikes Back. And I was comparing it before to The Matrix and the second Matrix movie.
Not true.
And I think in both cases, the first film, you're a kid or you're a person who's just like, I'm stuck in a dead-end job, whether it's a moisture farmer or I'm working in this cubicle office.
Yep.
And then you find out by the end, infinite possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second film, I mean, infinite responsibilities. It's just up to you.
Yeah.
You alone can save the universe.
Okay.
Only you.
Yeah.
And so stop having fun.
Okay.
Buckle down and get your shit together. And you're not going to be happy anymore. You're not going to smile for any more movies. I know you smiled at the end of the last one. You're having a good time. Knock it off.
I think you're describing the viewer of The Matrix 2.
No, Matrix 2 actually was not that bad. Matrix 2 was a horror show. It had the chase scene, those silent
that's
chase
scenes. Yeah,
and that's a big chunk of the film. You're fine. If any movie,
you had that 50-minute long opening sequence of them dancing.
People cut Bullet slack. God, they go like, Bullet, what a great movie. You mean, what a great one car chase scene, right?
I know, it's a good film.
Yeah, the scene where the fax is coming in and you're waiting for that for 5 minutes and you're seeing it in real 70s time watching.
Well, it's fine.
I wonder whose face that's going to be.
You just don't like 70s films. Admit it.
Here he's shopping.
You just have to admit,
now he's going shopping.
You have to admit, I don't like 70s films. And that scene has more than that to it.
I've said I like Star Wars, so clearly I like 70s movies.
Star Wars is a... I don't know, Star Wars kind of falls outside of the... Don't you think it falls outside of the 70s in a way?
1977.
It was kind of the end of the 70s films,
1977.
I know.
It's not the end of the 70s.
No, but I mean 70s movies. When we're talking about 70s films, we're describing a specific type of movie.
You're talking like Godfather?
Godfather, Parallax View, McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
French Connection.
Conversation, French Connection. None of those films existed after Star Wars. So once you had that kind of blockbuster mentality take over Hollywood, those kind of films disappeared.
That's a little film called Godfather 3, I think.
Yeah. Thanks for that. You certainly beat my argument to a pulp. Thanks, Little Dave. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I just feel like those sort of films, and I mean, I know they carried on. I mean, but I mean, they didn't make money the way they did. I mean, it's weird to think back to a time when a film as odd as McCabe and Mrs. Miller was a big hit.
Didn't they just become television then? Because television used to...
In the 80s, no.
Yeah.
Well, like what?
Like, I don't know, like a Saint Elsewhere or something like that?
No,
like,
it's not as good as those films. It is not as...
Saint Elsewhere is as good as those films, yes. Yes, Saint Elsewhere is as good as those films.
Yeah. I haven't seen it since it was on, so
okay.
I don't want to...
It's one of
I'm
the best TV
argue.
Shows of all time.
Okay.
Okay, but fair enough.
When did
fair
you
enough.
Watch it?
What's that?
Have you watched it recently?
I watched it when it was in reruns. I watched like all of them. I got obsessed with it. Before Simpsons came out, it was my favorite TV show ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. It was a pretty good show, but I felt like it kind of fell apart after that really great storyline with the murderer.
Okay.
Like, once that kind of ended, that part of the story ended, you kind of felt like, boy, they really don't have much wind
left
in these sails.
Well, we can get to specific Saint Elsewhere episodes. I don't know the interest people will have.
Yeah.
There was the one where Howie Mandel dies. That's a pretty great episode.
Yeah, I don't remember
and
that.
Goes through the afterlife.
Okay.
And they actually had a... Here's one of the things. Like, okay, we're going to get a little Saint Elsewhere-y. Did you ever watch Saint Elsewhere?
Yeah, I watched it. I remember there was a guy with curly hair.
Yeah, that was Howie Mandel. There was a couple of people
Morse.
Curly hair.
Yeah.
David Morse also, man, that guy had a rough time.
I know, that was something I didn't like.
Oh my God, turned
that.
His back and his kid's gone. Like, it's just terrible, poor guy.
Turns out he's not really a doctor and da da da.
Okay, well, here's some spoilers
for Saint
Elsewhere. There was a guy who was on the show, a bad guy. He was a rapist.
Yeah.
He didn't know what doctor was the rapist.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, and he gets killed.
Yeah.
And he gets killed by getting shot in the groin, one, and then boom, in the heart.
Yeah.
So Howie Mandel at one point dies, and you see what hell is like in this world. And hell is, this guy is in a boat. And he's just in a boat, and he's just angry, and he's yelling up at God.
Wow.
And he's saying, it's not fair what happened to me. It's like, oh, it doesn't sound fair. But then he gets so angry at Howie Mandel that he, like, pushes him out of the boat, and it's just like, nah, you belong here. But the guy was like, it's just, it's not fair. None of this is fair. And it was just this great representation of, what...
Of how that actor felt getting written out of the show.
Sure. Why not? Could be that. Could be that. Then Howie Mandel, of course, goes to heaven, and heaven and God is played by Howie Mandel. Oh. And he's got to talk to
I don't remember this, but that sounds
It's a really interesting episode. Like, they did a lot of weird stuff.
I just felt like it kind of got a little, I don't know. Lost the wind in its sails. After
what
that
I just feel when people say that you know to movies, you know when the blockbusters came in, yeah. they pushed all the good films out. I'm sure you could look through. I wish we had a movie book. You bring one every other week, and we would probably see like, oh no, there was a lot of. This,
oh no,
that,
there
and
was.
Other.
I mean, there were still interesting films that were being.
But
made,
I think but television then took over, and then when cable came in, like pay per view and that sort of thing. Yeah, I think that really
that's so long.
I think
after.
Nowadays, and again, I haven't seen The Wire. I'm sorry, I haven't seen The Fucking Wire.
I haven't. Either.
But I'm sure people would compare that to whatever the best of the 70s movies would be.
I get. I don't know. I mean, the 70s had a particular what's the word? Sort of worldview that I think disappeared with the 70s as well. Like, I don't think a movie like The Parallax View, and I don't want to. People haven't seen it. I'm going to spoil it. So just go ahead.
Have you seen it?
30 seconds.
Lisa?
No.
Oh, here comes a spoiler for you.
Here comes the spoiler.
Go the spoiler directly to her. Ruin the movie for your wife right now.
You know,
ruin it.
It's a Warren Beatty film, and so he's a star, a very good-looking guy, and da-da-da, he's a journalist looking into this organization that he suspects is behind, you know, big assassinations, stuff like that.
Warren Beatty played a lot of good-looking guys.
The film basically ends with him being killed.
Okay.
And that's how it ends. He doesn't solve it. He doesn't reveal who it is. The Parallax organization continues on, and he's dead. And that's the 70s movie, right?
Yeah,
that's
bummer ending.
Bummer ending, yeah. And I think...
Or any British movie today.
Or a British TV show, that's true. And there's been a few attempts to bring that around. One I can think of is the great De Palma film Blowout with John Travolta and I think Nancy Allen and John Lithgow as the villain. Like, that's a great film. And it has a total bummer ending. And it was a flopperoo in the theater. And for no reason. It's a great film. It's just that it didn't capture that... You know, it's behind its time. You know, it was made too late to capture that 70s interest. And that's, you know, De Palma is still thinking in terms of 70s films. And he hadn't caught up to this new time period where every movie should have a happy ending like Star Wars, you know. And so it's just these subtle changes that changed and not. And and maybe it moved into television. I don't know. I think, you know, something like St. Elsewhere that went for 4 years or something like that is a bit different than a film that lasts for an hour and a half.
Yep.
And how it tells its story is a bit different, you know. I just think it's interesting, you know, yes, maybe it did move into a different place, but the fact that it's still true that the Star Wars kind of changed how movies were, you know, and it might be a combination
of Jaws. And then the second Star Wars movie had a bummer ending, and everyone went, that's the best one. We like that the most. Why? It's a bummer. We like it. And this movie, I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's not the happiest ending in the world either. And we're like, good for you. That good movie that has a bad ending.
I would say differently about both of them, which is that both of them end... at a point where there's a possibility of hope on the other side of it, right? Like, maybe we're ending at this point in the story, but we know it's going to carry on. We felt the same way in Empire Strikes Back. We know this is the middle section.
Well,
in
this Star Wars movie, you know, Lord, is it going to carry on? You know, it's like, we got two other Aziz movies.
Yeah,
we got a Rogue One movie. We're going to have a Boba Fett spin-off. All right, we got a lot of stuff going on. You're not going to solve the problem for a long time. You know, you and your grandkids are going to be going to see that movie and going like, oh, they took care of that finally. Good. They plugged that hole. But then, you know, a generation from now, they're going to have more of the movies going, no, we didn't. Things are still lousy. The end.
What film did you see in 1977, though, that you thought was really good, that was way better than Star Wars?
Did you see movies back then?
I did see movies back then, but I have no idea.
So nothing sticks in your mind? Like,
no, but how about let's move this into the 21st century. What about River? Have you seen River? TV show? British?
No, wait. Is that the one with the... I don't want to spoil anything now. It's like, but it's kind of the concept is he's talking to the dead lady, right? Is
yes,
that the deal?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw the first one of that. Yes.
Okay, yeah.
And you enjoying River?
Loved it, yeah.
We watched it, yeah.
Because, you know, talking about downer ending for British, it was, but it was... realistic, you know, and it was bad, but it turned out in such a way that it couldn't have been any better for him because it was real, even though it was surreal, you know, and so I don't know. I thought it was quite brilliant.
I got kind of a theory over the British and American versions of like happy endings and not. I think like it comes down to World War II. And it's like, I think America looks at World War II as there was something evil.
Yeah.
We went, we won.
Yes.
Done!
We did
Hooray!
It before,
over!
We can do
we
it
completely
again.
Beat it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And England goes, oh, we're going to be rebuilding for at least a generation. Yeah. Yeah. This is never really over. And and they actually dealt with the horrific real consequences of it.
Yeah.
So they treat war in a different situation. So when you parallel it in your movies, you're not going to have the end, done and done, walk away, because England knows that's not the case.
Yeah, I would agree with you to a point. I mean, I think when you say that about America, you're ignoring, you know, the huge amount of casualties and the suffering of GIs on the return from the war.
But when you think
like
of their perspective on the war, we went over there and we kicked your ass. How about Russia? Russia also helped. America went over and we kicked their ass. And that's the way, and Hitler turned tail and went, oh, the Yanks are here. We're done.
Yeah.
That's how Hitler talks, like this.
That's right. Everyone,
listen, you mugs. We're going to invade Poland, see?
I always thought
Hitler, Adolf Hitler.
I always thought Hitler talked like this. Hi, my name is Hitler. I'm thinking little Hitler.
Okay, you got to be Ava Braun then. This is the only way this works. Get in there.
Hi, Ava. How are you? My name is Little Hitler.
Ms. Williamson, we heard you being Ava Braun on a podcast, and the principal would like to speak to you for a moment.
As long as it's not the superintendent.
That's right.
Okay,
trouble.
Superintendent. Sorry.
He's mad at you for playing a vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's true.
I think she was, wasn't she?
No
she
idea.
Must have been.
Well, Hitler was.
Adolf, Hitler was. So there's no way.
What, did he meet her at a vegetarian restaurant?
I think so. Yeah. They shared.
Pasta cats! You're beautiful! Don't you hate meat?
Did he say past the cats?
Carrots. Yeah, past the cats.
That's what I was asking a question for.
Sorry, I meant he was at an all-cat restaurant.
It's just like, you know, I'm a vegetarian, but I eat fish. I'm a vegetarian, but I eat cats,
I will eat house pets. I will eat domesticated animals.
You are evil, sir.
No, only domesticated animals that have the full run of the house and that wander into the kitchen. If they wander into the kitchen, then they're...
If they can jump into a pot, I will eat them. It's a very simple rule.
Hitler was a terrible person. I didn't like him before, but now that he's like saying he's a vegetarian, but he's eating cats, that guy's a real jerk. I'm glad the Americans went over and kicked his ass.
Finally, glad they changed their mind and stopped charging Britain millions and millions of dollars to send them armaments. Yes.
Now, there is one of the problems, though, with the film like this, Star Wars. And again, this is not a spoiler because it exists, and that it calls itself Star Wars means there's still wars going on. Mm. But, you know, you had the first film, which, you know, hey, we beat them. Okay.
Yeah.
You beat them. Yeah. Great. And then it's like, well, you didn't really beat them. This happened. This happened. And then by the third film, we beat them. All right. Good. You beat them. Everything's great.
Yeah.
And now this one. You didn't beat them at all.
Isn't it different? It's a different organization. I don't want to give away too much.
I don't think it is. They all dress the same. They got the same outfits. They got the same plan. They have the same guns. They do all the same shit. It's the same people.
I guess. That's evil for you, though, isn't it? It's always the same. They're always eating cats.
You might call them the Glatzies instead, you know, but they're still the Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's true.
So nice job, Luke. Smooth move. Smooth move, Rebels. Didn't work at all. One generation later, we still got this shit going on. Worse than ever. Yeah, smooth, nice.
I don't want to talk about it too much because I prefer to see a film, personally speaking, with very little knowledge of what I'm going to see.
I'm just doing a spoiler based on the title of the film.
Okay.
And The Force Awakens. Sorry to spoil it, everybody, but The Force Awakens. The Force Awakens.
In this film.
Mm-hmm.
It wakes up. And it thinks it was a ghost that woke it up.
And I do think that's another problem with the film, is that you do know there'll be sequels, whereas with Star Wars, you didn't think there was going to be sequels. So it's like, we're done. That's a good movie, and we're all having a good time, and now we're...
Yeah.
But nowadays,
you
have a big action movie.
Yeah.
You're going to...
You know. You know. But I mean, whatever. I don't want to argue about it.
Well, then what are you doing on this show?
Because I enjoyed it.
Have you ever seen this show?
I've never seen it, because it's a podcast, and you can't see it.
If you close
unless you come to the live show and then you can see it, I guess.
That's true.
Oh, I just argued against myself. Way to go, Dave.
So you completed your Christmas. When we last left David, you and Jason were going off to the meeting of the Dedricks.
We did.
Where you all talk about how magnets don't work and you don't understand. were you there for the his computer went off, I know.
No, it's fine.
So were you there for the Dedrick gathering?
I was.
So you're obligated to go?
I am obligated.
Okay.
So
obligated.
How many of these have you been to now then?
As a Dedrick spouse?
26, I would guess.
And what was the best one?
None.
Why? What
zero
do you mean,
for 26.
Okay, I'll tell you the worst one. Okay.
Yay!
The worst
all right.
one was probably the first one, which we walked into this room or house full of, which is actually the same house.
Oh. Michael Kenny's.
Millions of people that I didn't know.
And millions of
Edrics. They've instantly disappeared for the next like 3 hours.
Right.
And I found a chair.
I was watching hockey downstairs.
Yeah. Anyways, I found a chair to sit. And then Dave's mom kept insisting that I come and sit at her feet like I'm her Egyptian like slave or something like that. And I'm like, no, I'm fine in this chair. No, no, come sit on the floor beside me.
And get out of that chair seat on the floor.
Yeah, and all night I kept, it was across the room. And everyone's like, is watching a tennis match where she's yelling across the room, come sit at my feet, me. No, come sit at my feet, me. No, come sit. And everyone's like, look. Anyway, that was... I didn't go to the next one. Oh, I don't know what it was. I think she's just got this image of... Yeah, she's got this thing.
Okay,
I went to go downstairs to say hi to some people, and I got wrapped up in a shuffleboard tournament.
Okay. No, I want to back up this train just a second. Okay, now, you're not the first spouse of a Dedrick. You know, one of your brothers has had spouses. So there's spouse-related things.
There's a lot of spice.
There's spice. Okay, yeah, has any of these spouses...
Spice.
...been forced to sit at the feet of your mother... at an organization,
no.
At a gathering.
Failed so publicly and so miserably with me, she didn't try that one on again.
If like the mom or the matriarch of that family, this is what we do. You put her next to your... That's so weird.
So
you're in
weird.
A chair.
Okay, I'm not playing that game.
I think it's time the truth came out, which is I told my mom that Lisa likes to sit on the floor at someone's feet. But she would say no, but my mom should insist until
the
Lisa felt comfortable.
The 58th time she will say, ask again.
I said, yeah,
ask again.
Don't take no for an answer. This is what she likes to do. She's going to be a little shy.
Yeah.
Make sure you ask her over
This is the British thing about offering food. It's like, would you like something to eat? Oh, I couldn't. Are you sure? Would you like something to eat? Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't. Third time, I'll have a little something. Because you got to be polite.
Yeah.
So it's like, 59th time, would you like to sit at my feet? Well,
I've never experienced that, but I can imagine that happens. That you would say no to food. That's a strange, weird.
What if you sat at her feet, looked under the chair, and there was money there? And this was how she was trying to offer you.
She'll never know.
Yeah. You'll never know.
No.
Oh, that is so weird. So what happened at, this latest one, were you abandoned at this one as well? Is that?
No, I was with her the whole time.
Yeah, we were only there for about an hour and a half.
Don't say it like it's possible that I was going to run off.
The house is much smaller.
It's still early. It's still early.
I just heard a story about you. You just you ran off.
I was like,
how dare you?
I was a 21-year-old
idiot. That I would do such a thing
idiot.
That I just said I did a second ago.
You can't. I don't know.
Said good day, ma'am.
I feel like
sitting at the feet.
I feel
of
like my
father.
Life should be like divided into two parts. One is like me as a young male idiot, and then me as an older male idiot.
Okay. When did you turn older male idiot? What year?
I don't know.
I want to write this on a piece of paper.
Oh, boo. This is called the oldie wed game.
Oh, that would be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's way better than the newlywed game. Yeah. It's the oldie wed game. Back when you don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You've been together 40 years. Oh, no, that is actually pretty good.
He's
okay, so I am stroking my head. That's way better. Okay, so this time around, though, so you go in.
Yeah.
Because what I heard was it's 6 hours long normally. Like normally, it used to be six hours.
Or longer.
Yeah, it was 2 to 7 this year, and we ended up being there till eight.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it did work out to 6 hours. So party down, Dedrick's. But we didn't get there till, because we left here, I don't know what time we left here, at around 6 o'clock probably?
Sounds about right.
Jason and I.
I had something I had to do too that day. I forgot what it was, but I did have to do something.
Yeah. So Lisa had come down. She wasn't here in the room when we were recording, but she had come down with Jason and I. And so we went back. We dropped him off at his house. And then we went from there to my uncle's and got to yakin. And he came about half an hour after us or maybe.
Yeah,
at least
almost an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. So he showed up really late. Basically I had to walk in the house. Grab his significant other, and then they head over.
Right.
But apparently it takes a lot longer than that to happen. I don't know. Or she just didn't want to go, which is understandable. I can understand why someone...
That's a weird foot fetish thing over there, yeah.
I can understand why someone who didn't grow up in that tradition would find it dull. And I find it dull. Like, I just go out of a sense of obligation. I don't go out of any sense of interest.
Now, who holds this?
It varies between the brothers. And
Dave's dad's side of the family. Because your mom has Christmas.
My mom has
a stranglehold on Christmas.
She has a stranglehold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dave told the story last week about how you showed up first. and were told we were going to eat without you, and then other people showed up and didn't get any of that grass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ridiculous, yeah.
All right.
We were going to eat without you, and then we ate 2 hours later. So outrageous. You know, it's funny. I never would have noticed that when I was a kid, though, that kind of way of talking.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just would have taken it to heart, you know, but I've gotten kind of a bit better of, like, not taking my mom seriously.
Well, you're older
and
now.
And realizing she's
We've
full
clarified,
of shit.
Yeah, that you're older.
So straight older Dave. Younger Dave would have had a hard time with that. I just would have felt guilty and, oh, I can't believe we're late. Oh, be all mad at Lisa. Look, you made us late.
I made you late.
Yeah, we're having all those bomb threat drills. They make us run at the house. Okay, there's a bomb threat. Obviously. I'm out the window. You guys look for bombs. Here we go. But is there any? Okay, so you're saying is it your father and his brothers that run this thing?
And my aunts.
Okay,
yeah,
so one day when you know long life,
there's
everyone.
There's seven of them.
All right, long life, good health, knocking on the table.
Yeah.
Will one day this fall to you to be running the meeting of the Dedricks?
No, we actually did 1 year.
We did it 1 year because my aunt decided to have a kidless, like none of the younger Dedricks could come. Only the brothers and sisters.
Only the barren women could show up.
Only the original seven could go there. The group of seven. The rest of us out of it. So we decided we'd have our own like Dedrick, you know, kids kind of Christmas. When I say kids, I mean we're all much older now, but just all the
cousins.
Yeah, yeah. We had the cousins.
And was your get together more fun than the?
Fuck yeah. Of course it is, man.
Do you have activities?
We did. Well, my brother.
People want to know what this is.
My brother
like,
was smart.
I'm picturing right now, it's just a bunch of Dedricks standing in the room like a forest.
Yeah, yeah.
A forest of Dedricks.
Yeah.
And just slowly wandering around.
Yeah. Well, no,
are there snacks? Just paint the picture for me. I want to hear this, and I want to hear what yours was. So the traditional one, snacks on a table, or there's a formal
we'll have a dinner.
Sitting down.
There's a dinner.
Big table.
But a buffet.
Everyone's sitting
but a buffet
down.
Dinner. No, a buffet dinner.
And you just wander over and just keep filling your plate.
Right. Yeah. And you're walking with plates and talking to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, and the big food dish at this buffet is what?
Ham or turkey.
Ham or turkey. Traditional okay, there you go. So now you're wandering around, and it's just a chin wag for 6 hours.
Well, here's the thing you don't understand.
No games.
The Dedricks do not see each other for the rest of the year.
Right.
I'm talking the brothers and sisters don't talk to each other for the rest of the year.
Right. Because you all know what you did.
They all see each other on this one day.
And do you fill each other in on what you've been up to for the
year? I guess they do. I don't know. I find it interminably boring, whatever's happening. So I hardly pay attention to it. Basically, when I discovered that Jason was funny, which took a while for that to reveal
itself. It was about the fourth time he appeared on the show.
Yeah, let's put it. When I found out he was funny, which, you know, when you're a teenager, and he's quite a bit younger than me. So, you know, he was like this little brat. You know, and then it took a while for me to talk to him one day, and I went, oh, this guy's funny. Huh, interesting. So then, because I was more friends with my older cousin, who was his brother, we were closer in age and closer to, and so I kind of ignored Jason to a point. And then one day I was talking to him at maybe at something anyway. I remember this wedding, maybe?
Your brother's wedding, probably.
Yeah. And I'm talking to this guy, and I went, this guy's hilarious. Oh, I'm gonna glom onto him next time we have Boxing Day. So, yeah. So basically that's what I do. When he shows up, I just kind of like climb onto his back and ride around on him. Because, you know, I know there's no one else to talk to there besides Lisa, who's interesting to me.
And Brooke.
Oh, and my cousin Brooke as well. Yeah, Brooke's very nice. Yeah.
She's an architect.
She's an architect.
Okay, but the rest, dead weight.
Well, I wouldn't want to say that. It's just,
you
know.
Seems you have. Just did. They're boring, is what you just said.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they are boring.
Now we're going to the one year that the original seven are off, you know, doing some sort of family secret business.
I wouldn't say we were much of an improvement over what they do, but would you say we were?
I don't remember. You were downstairs doing what? Something, watching Charlie Chaplin or something?
No. We were playing...
This took place in the 30s, right? When you guys met?
We were playing that band, that rock band.
Okay.
Downstairs. My brother brought over his rock band.
Oh, Charlie Chaplin rock band.
Charlie Chaplin rock band, that's right. It's all a lot of ragtime
Tramp-related songs. Lady is a Tramp.
You have to pretend you're playing the piano the whole time.
And there is the dancing element, but you got to take two forks and some buns.
Yeah, that's right.
And just match all the steps.
To match the
Charlie
steps
Chaplin dance,
that's
bread
right.
Revolution.
Yeah. Potato dance revolution.
Oh, sorry, it was potatoes.
Yeah.
I always thought it was a couple of buns. My mistake.
Maybe it was buns. I thought it was potatoes.
It feels hard. Like if you stab two potatoes, you can't get that kind of control of a soft potato. It's going to go flying, right? But a bun you could do.
Maybe.
Try doing it. You can't do it.
I don't know.
We're going to probably be around some potatoes tonight. We'll go check that out and we'll see what's going on.
I'm sure they'll appreciate us doing that. Yeah. No, that's what... But, I mean, that was fun to do. I mean, it was more fun than... I don't know.
So what you're saying is your family's garbage.
No, Oh, I would never say that.
Yeah, it seems that's what you're saying.
I would say family's special.
And you should only see them once a year because they're that kind of special.
Limited amounts.
Yeah, the same amount you see a dentist. That's right.
You cannot take that much specialness in your life. No, you can't. Not at all. Yeah. Why? You were downstairs for the rock band fun.
I don't think those two words should be used in the same sentence, or three words, rather.
Well, we were having fun. We were singing songs and playing along, and, you know, it was good.
Fair enough. It was fun. All right. And Christmas went okay? Everything went all right with Christmas this year?
Yep. No trees fell on anyone?
Nope.
I think that's a good thing.
I lived.
You lived. I had 2 hours of sleep on for all of Christmas Day, but other than that, I misplanned my present wrapping time. I didn't know how long it would take me to wrap gifts, and I like to wrap the gifts. I don't like gift bags. I like every present to be unwrappable.
Oh, right? When I found out about gift bags, my life just became so much better.
Well, yeah, I can see that's easier.
Yeah, and now what are you going to do? Reuse it.
Yeah,
reuse it. This just seems good on every level. Yeah,
and you here's know what's even better?
No.
Lose the presents. That's what I did this year. And then you don't even have to use the gift bags. It's like super great.
So you lost them.
Yeah. I lost Dave's presents, and I lost my dad's present. So then you don't have to use gift bags.
Yeah.
And then when you do find the gifts, then you can give them. And then it's like a second Christmas because you told them you had a gift.
Yeah.
Right? And they're like, okay, I got a gift. And then you give them this gift when you find it way later. And they're like, oh, I got a gift. It's twice as good.
Oh, it's so much better getting a gift later.
You are.
Absolutely.
You're selling me on this, dude. I'm going to do this next year.
All right. But you hate gift bags. Because I want to waste as much paper as possible.
It's not that. I mean, one of the great things about Christmas when you're a kid is unwrapping gifts. You know, like that was part of the fun when you got up on Christmas morning and you went downstairs to your tree.
Right.
And it's, you know, has all these presents piled around it. And it's so exciting and so great. And then you get to open your gifts. Like, that's a great feeling.
You don't open the gifts, though. You, like, devour them.
I do not devour the gifts.
You rip and, oh, I cannot stand it. You have to, like, take the tape very carefully and fold the paper up and keep it. We had paper from the 1950s.
Old Lady Williamson here.
We reused our paper.
Yeah, oh, wow.
That was my, my grandmother was the same. She, it would be my like, you'd be opening and be like, oh, hey, we're saving all that paper. It's like, it's not still the war. We're North America. We kicked Hitler's ass. We can tear this paper.
No, it's great. It's part of the tradition. You remember, oh, I got this in this wrapping paper. It's good.
Uh-huh. My theory was always that at some horrible point in the past, they ran out of wrapping paper and had to use the family pet skins. And they went, never again. We're going to keep the wrapping paper. Well, it had to be something that traumatic. Because the way they just like jump on the wrapping paper and just like, ah! Yeah. Don't throw the paper away. We must put it in the basement next to the oily rags. Mm. And how did Grandma die? In that beautiful, colorful fire.
I just feel, I don't know. So I just, I
Sorry
feel
the
same
the
way
of the skin pets, everybody,
when you have like old crabby people planning to get rid of like summer break for students, you know, because they're like, kids don't need time off, you know, and you feel like, hey, if you said that when you were a kid in summertime, then maybe I'll agree with you. But I fucking don't believe that you ever said such a thing. So yes, kids should have a summer break. Screw you, old woman or man, whoever
Wait,
you
who
are.
Who's saying this? Who's saying?
You hear people say this all the time. They're like, they're planning on getting rid of summer.
What? They're planning on getting rid of summer?
Yeah, like summer break.
What's happening?
It's true, right, dude?
Oh, they talk about it. Actually, a friend of mine teaches at a school that goes all through summer. There's one in Maple Ridge, but
Screw
I don't know
that.
How we got onto this topic.
Yeah, yeah. All of a sudden, we went from winter to summer. Did we just skip like 6 months?
What I'm saying is, I feel the same way.
What are you saying?
Well, if you shut up, you'll hear it.
Oh, wow. This really took a turn. Again, shut up.
Like that, Dad.
I've got things about sunscreen. I want to tell you the importance of it. I'm not crazy. You're crazy. I got 2 hours sleep. Anyway, go ahead. I hate bags.
But my point is that when you love something when you're a kid, then you should try to repeat that. Like for my kids, I want them to have that same experience. I don't want them to go to the Christmas tree and there's bags with tissue paper on top of it.
It's like my dad wanted me to have polio. You know,
he did not want you to have polio. Big liar.
It's got to be like when it was
a kid. Then you just pull out a tissue and then you look inside and there's your gifts. Like boring. Like it's fun to unwrap it. It's fun to have the mystery that you get to unwrap and tear the paper and throw it around.
Yeah. You know what this leads to, Dave? When you go like, I want things to be like when I was a kid and have a kid have that same. That
not
leads
polio.
To?
You're not
no,
gonna say
no,
polio
you know what it's going to lead to?
What?
New Star Wars movie.
Yeah, which was that's pretty damn good, by the way.
Yeah.
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
What?
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Yes.
Yes, thumbs up.
Yeah. No, yes, both. Yes.
Ugh, you're a jerk. What about you, dear? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. Yeah. The lady I was talking to last night, she gave it a thumbs down. That's the only two people I've heard giving it a thumbs down. Hmm. She said it just redid the first one didn't change anything. They just substituted characters. That was her take on it.
It's big substitutions of characters in important ways. I'll give you that.
I guess so.
I'll give you that.
But it's different in other ways, so, you know.
I still say my favorite Star Wars movie in the last 30 years is Guardians of the Galaxy. That's my favorite Star Wars movie.
So is that that's 30 years? So that you're
Yeah, that's post Jedi.
Oh, okay.
So of that, from now to now, that's my favorite Star Wars movie.
But is it a Star Wars film?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. It's a kid and goes into space, has adventures, goes up against a figure that's very Darth Vader-y. You can go with Groot. He's your Wookiee. These are bad guys, but they turn into good guys. All the things you liked about Star Wars, I think, are in Guardians of the Galaxy, except with a really good soundtrack.
Yeah, I took Lisa to see it, and she didn't understand the things that she saw.
Oh, it's a talking tree, and it's a raccoon.
Yeah, that's not real.
Raccoon climbs a tree and then fires a gun.
It's not real. She just can't dig it. It's not real.
It's true. It's CGI. You're absolutely correct. No, that's not a bad thing. That's just a truth.
It's good to recognize that.
Anyway, back to your You Hate Summer. What was this about?
No, it wasn't that. I was just saying when people, like,
there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
When people, like, they love something when they're kids. I know that
much. By this point, there should be at least a vaccine.
When they love something when they're kids, whether it's summer break or unwrapping presents, then when they get older, they're like, you know what? So much hard work looking after the kids in the summer. So let's have school all year round. Then I don't have to look after my kids anymore. Or alternately, oh, it's too much hard work wrapping gifts. Let's just not have presents anymore that are wrapped. We'll just put them in a bag and throw it under the tree. Like, I can understand that it's easier to do, but, you know, I want the girls to have the fun of opening
Fair
gifts.
Fair enough. I will counter this by saying, you want kids to have not the same thing that you had when you were a kid.
No.
But you want them to have the same feeling.
Yeah.
Though the thing that gives a kid the same feeling isn't necessarily the same thing you had when you were a kid. And maybe they can have that same feeling with, you know, if you grow up with, there's bags. What's in the bags?
You can.
Amazing things. Well, then that's great.
We'll ask.
And you don't
we'll
have grandma them. Going, stop opening the paper. Stop ripping it. You're a horrible child, but I want to get my present. I don't know how to. My fingers aren't delicate enough to open this.
We know that grandma should take a chill pill.
Yeah.
But that's just a fact.
That's why I give grandma chill pills every...
Every Christmas. That's called the dollop of whiskey.
Yeah, big box of chillaxatives.
Give them their eggnogs and rum. Then they're chill pilled into the ground.
All right. What was your best present that you got this year?
What was your best present you got this year, dear?
I can't remember what I got.
That's good. And over to you.
I'm going to say my daughter gave me some books, Monster, the manga stories.
Mm-hmm.
I got volume 1 and volume 2. Too.
Nice. Good. Yeah. And that's by, what's the name of the author of that? I want to say Akira, but that's not correct. But it's a, he also did one of my favorite mangas, which was Pluto, which is kind of the Astro Boy story.
Yeah.
Well, that's my favorite. I like 20th Century Boys, but it just goes on for so long that I've got no idea if I've read it or not. And now I'm in volume 14 and there's like at least 10 more and out. I'm out.
Yeah.
Can't
I felt
do
the
it.
Same way. I did. But I feel like there's a point in it where you can reasonably drop out of it and not, you know, and not miss anything, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So.
But Monster, it's a nice short enough story. You're going to enjoy it?
I think it's only 5 volumes.
Literally, I remember like reading Monster and turning a page and going, gah! Like there's a couple of those moments. And
that's good.
You can do that in a story.
I haven't read it yet. I was kind of interested in him because
sorry for spoiling it with a
That's okay. That's okay. I was kind of interested in it because of that manga series that he's doing where he's talking to manga artists and watching them work with the artist.
Have we put a link to that up on our thing?
I don't think we have.
All right.
But it is a good series. It's kind of fun to watch, to have two artists talking. But then to add that extra element of them watching, you know, the one artist watching themselves work and sort of commenting on it at the same time, it's interesting. It's a good show.
No, I agree. I enjoy it very much. I just want to get back to New Year's for just a second. When you were young,
okay,
and life was so logical, what was New Year's like for you at your family when you were kids? Did you stay up?
No, we didn't stay up. As kids, we didn't stay up. We had babysitters.
Oh, because your mom and dad were out partying.
Yeah.
Were your mom and dad stay-at-home or partiers?
My mom and dad would go to the town hall, or not town hall, but we had a community club.
Right.
And they would have a dancer, and we would get a babysitter, but we were allowed to stay up. And then later on, after the community club burnt down, then they would have the party at our house. And so then
it was a community hall, but...
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. And then we would sneak out and get alcohol and then get drunk.
Wow.
And we were like 13, 14, 15.
Yeah. I never did that.
What was the alcohol of choice?
Whatever
probably
they could get.
Yeah, whatever you can get. Probably wine, I think.
Oh, wine. Yeah. But you can smell wine on the kids, though. That's the only problem.
Yeah, you're a kid, you know? Like, you don't care. You don't know. But,
well, you learn. Yeah. I learned that I didn't realize I was really a drinker, but I realized, you know, vodka you can't smell as much.
Mm.
But wine, like two houses over, you know, the kids are drinking completely. It's the stinkiest of the bunch. Gin's not so bad. Gin you can't really smell as much, and you can pour into like a ginger ale or something, and no one will know.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a party kind of a person. I don't.
I can tell. You're already getting stressed out because I said I was drinking when I was 13.
You just start pulling out clumps of hair from your head.
Interesting. That was a think of my own daughters, perhaps.
Yes.
I just never, because I never drank. So, like, well, you know, so a lot of like teen parties, there's really no point in going to them because there's a lot of people who are very drunk, and it's not that much fun if you're not drunk. I guess would be my review of all the teen parties I went to as a teenager, and I went to a couple of them, but I soon learned that I was, you know.
I'd bring weird candies, and I'd be liked because I had the weird candies. I'm like, you get some miles out of Fun Dip. You can talk to some girls, and they'll eat the Fun Dip, and then they'll start eating Fun Dip seductively, and you'll be like, well, this has all worked out great for the price of a pack of Fun Dip.
Wow.
This is all right.
Never had that experience. I
Fun Dip, Dave, that's the angle. I know you're happily married now, but that's what you should have done.
I guess I should have. Darn me.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a few parties that were nice as a teen, but That was about it.
I remember like my folks would just watch TV and get grumpy, and it was just who cares.
We'd always watch It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Didn't like that film.
Oh, and then that's when I saw, I think, Woody Allen Sleeper for the first time.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And was that one? There was another Woody Allen. Anyways, they
used to play
Star Wars is such a ripoff of Sleeper. But anyway, go ahead.
But they would, play those.
Yeah.
R2, C-3PO. We get it. You're him as the butler. We get it. It's the same thing, exactly.
Yeah, George Lucas must have been like twisting in his seat when he saw that film. He's like, oh man, these are so similar. Shit. That's one thing. One reason I didn't go to parties as a teenager actually was I babysat almost every New Year's Eve.
Oh, it's a good money maker in that day for a babysitter.
For about 5 years, I babysat my cousins. So that was,
And then with your cousins, would you watch the Dick Clark rockin' New Year's Eve?
No, they went to bed quite early.
What?
They were quite a bit younger than me. Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was told to put them to bed, so I did. I just followed my orders. Commandant.
And then would you watch TV?
Eat a cat? No, I just...
I see. Okay, we're back to that. For some reason, I thought you were making a reference to Alf. It's like, I used to watch Alf's rockin' New Year's Eve, and at New Year's, he'd eat a cat, and it'll be a fresh New Year.
I thought a ghost was attacking me. No, I would... Yeah, I didn't even watch that. No, I would... That's boring. Like, why would you want to watch...
Like music? You like... You like... You don't like music.
That's
a big surprise to me.
Music. I like music, but I don't like that music.
There must have been some of that music you liked.
I doubt it.
Wow.
Like what? What was great? Who was playing?
Lots of bands. The popular bands of the day.
Yeah, that's totally out of my interest.
You don't like popular music?
No. No. As soon as something becomes popular, it's not interesting to me at all.
Don't become popular, Lisa. Whatever you do, don't become the most popular teacher. Don't become the most popular.
No worries.
You are popular as a teacher, don't lie. She's very popular as a teacher. She has a lot of gifts, a lot of thank you cards. It's nice.
What's the age range of the kids that you're teaching?
13 to 18.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's high school.
Those years.
Yeah.
Those are the years that count.
They're good.
Huh?
Yeah, they're real people.
Yeah, they are actually people, aren't they? Yeah. I'm noticing that with my nephew, as my nephew's becoming a person. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you're a person now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. I gotcha.
Yeah. It's a different time, for sure. And they're exploring that, too, in front of your very eyes. So it has some fun to it.
When you're seeing them, are you remembering yourself at that age? Or are you just distant from that feeling?
No, I think. Because the kids I deal with are very different from me in that they're immigrants or international students, and so I mean their thing that they're dealing with is so much different, you know. They're just trying to understand the culture. I guess any teenager
trying
is trying to
figure out which
understand.
Side of the car they which side of the Ferrari they put the gas into.
That's right. Like my kids, we had a boy come and he had ordered this car in grade 11, and he showed up around Christmas time when he got it, and it was a Ferrari, blah, 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 I don't know what. It cost $680,000, and he drives into school with this thing, so everyone's like, whoa. But
They're like,
yeah, they've got different issues.
They're like, dude, why are you even going to school? Like, why are you here? You're driving a $700,000 car. You don't need to go to school.
Yeah, another one showed up with a McLaren. It's $250,000.
Oh, penny.
Yeah.
Do they park next to each other in the fancy section? And if so, what are their doors opened to, like, hit each other? And
I think both of those cars, their doors open up like gull wings, right? So they have the gull wings.
I think they
doors.
Just, like, teleport the doors you away and they just walk through them.
Ferrari doors don't open like normal car doors. They all slide up into the air over the car.
But if you, I don't know. Like, I think if you were living that kind of life then, what do you do? What do you do later? What are your 20s like? Where do you go?
It's all downhill, man.
Kinda. Yeah. Well, if not downhill, at least it's like it's kind of a
straight
walk.
Well, what do they do? You see these kids kind of go on with their lives. What do? They go into university?
Well, I think it's different with the group of kids that we have now because they're all from mainland China. Okay. So it's a different situation. The ones that we had from Korea before, that would be about 10 years ago, as a group, they've all gone back home to Korea. And they had come here as immigrants. They went to high school. They went to university. They planned to make a life here. And basically what they found is in Canada, or in this part of Canada anyways, you can't live and have that kind of lifestyle as a young person.
Yeah.
And so they've gone back to, some of them, Japan, although they're not from Japan, they're from Korea, and most of them to Korea. So he said, the one boy I was talking to said there's one kid left from that group of kids.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's like hundreds of kids. Yeah. So, yeah.
So how about the Taiwanese kids then?
The Taiwanese, they stayed.
Because you've had sort of a wave of kids. Yeah, like the first wave was Taiwanese.
And we had the Koreans, and now we're into mainland China. And then we're kind of moving into a mixed group of kids, some European, some South America. But the Taiwanese actually did stay. But I think they came for a different reason, with a different sort of philosophy as well. So I think probably the same sort of philosophy and reason that they left China to go to Taiwan to begin with. So, you know, politically, whereas I think the Chinese, a lot of them are just, you know, they've got so much wealth right now. Yeah. And a lot of it's maybe artificial. It's not real.
Yeah.
When that sort of plays out, who knows where they're going to be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've kind of had a very fast rise up. And I foresee that some of them will be as fast on the slide back down again.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, that's usually the way that goes.
Meanwhile, they've destroyed the housing market here.
It's one theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. speaking of Chinese, my family, a lot of Chinese people in my family, and last week I mentioned I was bringing Rice Krispie squares to the Christmas party.
Non-festive Rice Krispie squares.
Non-festive, yeah. I could not find the multicolored Rice Krispie squares.
Yeah.
Probably for the best.
Okay.
Because there was a lot of older folks at this thing. Okay.
Sure,
older No. Because you don't want, what's this blue food? Don't eat that. I mean, that's seriously. The older folks, not game for that.
Well, I don't eat blue food.
You won't eat a blueberry? A blueberry?
It's not
blue. We eat a Lick-A-Mane? Will you eat one seductively? Will I give you one?
I will. For you, Ian, I will eat one seductively.
Everyone, show me your tongues. It's the little thing you can do. Anyway, I get the Rice Krispie squares, and I present them, and I'm thinking, certain members of my family are going to be like, this guy just made Rice Krispie squares. Check this out. Okay, the older folks, nuts for them. Like, you would not believe the reviews that came pouring in for this. They hadn't had Rice Krispie squares.
Oh, okay.
They had never tried Rice Krispie squares. These were the greatest things I've ever had in my life.
So they wouldn't have known if you had red and green.
My sister's father-in-law... Yeah. I've said maybe six sentences to him since she got married to him like 15 years ago. We talked to death that night
about the Rice Krispie Square.
Wow.
Right. And then
sounds exciting.
Right. But the nice, it was pretty good. Like I was king of the maypole. I'll tell you, for these Rice Krispie Squares. They all loved them. Went crazy for them.
Yeah.
And then, it was interesting because on our, message board, SneakyDragon.com, Nina, Matsumoto mentioned, cause he said this reminded him of something he had when he was a child.
Okay.
And she mentioned the type of food. And I forgot what it was called. It
sashimi?
Sounds like
sashimi.
Yeah. And I looked it up and I went, you know what? That's probably what it was. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was, couldn't have been better. Like, I got to make these things now forever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm locked in.
You have your Christmas
go-to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. But here's where the controversy came in. Then his daughter was there, right?
Okay.
And his daughter is there. And so he goes, I've never had these before. These are amazing. I make those all the time, she says, right? And like, not like this, you don't. And like, oh, it's this. It's a family crisis. So we had to go. I had to go through the recipe with her. It's like, well, I do. I do all the things. I take it and I microwave the marshmallow. Well, I did it over a stovetop.
Did you use a double boiler?
I didn't use a double boiler. I just stir very quickly and make sure it doesn't, you know, at a low heat.
Okay.
And I use the microwave. And then I put them in the pan. I serve them immediately. Oh, you mean you don't refrigerate them overnight? I don't know.
I have a hard time making Rice Krispie squares. They don't mix, and they end up looking like that rock guy from the Star Wars movie, you know?
Who's the rock guy from the Star Wars movie?
Wasn't it Star Wars? Did we watch some movie with Star Wars? And there was some guy who was a rock, and they got locked in. No. Some other movie?
Are you thinking of Galaxy Quest, which we were watching the other night?
No, there's some
with
movie.
With Sigourney Weaver and Tim Allen?
Tim Allen?
Oh, that one.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
We were watching Galaxy Quest the other night.
So, yeah.
We were reliving our past, going back to the 90s.
Galaxy Quest is probably my third favorite Star Trek movie.
Third favorite Star Trek film?
Yep.
I'm going to put it as my first favorite Star Trek film. Then.
Really? Even more than Wrath of Khan?
Don't like it.
Even more than Voyage Home?
Hate it.
No, you can't hate Voyage Home.
Don't like those Star Wars films or Star Trek films.
Voyage Home is fantastic.
Is it the one with the whales?
Yes. Ugh. No. Disagree.
Too cute.
Boo. Too cute.
Yeah. You agree with me, right?
What?
I just think it's a film like if you didn't know how the character is supposed to interact, then you'd be like,
what do you mean? Did you get this guy? This guy's arrogant. Who's this guy? Yeah. He's really logical. Who this guy? He's really grumpy. What's this guy? He's Scottish. That's funny, right? How about the Russian guy? Russian guy's looking for nuclear vessels. That's pretty good.
If you're going to complain about fan service,
knocking
for Star
out
Wars.
A punk rock guy who's playing the punk rock music in the back of the bus, who hasn't wanted to do that? Give him the old nerve pinch, knock him out. Good stuff. Any movie that would be gold.
I scarcely remember any of that.
I know you do. That's why you're talking this bullshit. Look,
and Galaxy Quest is fresh in my mind, so I put it to the top.
That's right.
I'm going to outrage all of our one listener.
But I'm sorry that your Rice Krispie squares turn out like Galaxy Quest monsters.
Yes, they do.
All right. Just soft turns, everyone. Just fold. Don't force it. Soft. I got into a little thing with my wife when we were making ginger snap cookies, the Finnish kind.
Yeah.
And I was mixing too hard. It's like, Just don't fight it. Just go with the. It's got all mixed together. It doesn't matter. Fight it. It's got to be. No, relax. You're going too hard with the.
Use the
batter.
Force. Use the force, Ian.
Mm-hmm. They were good. Very good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you.
They were stirred the right amount. Finally. But I was going to say that Lisa also teaches horseback riding as well. So she's like you're born to be a teacher.
Hmm.
You don't want to be a teacher?
No, I just want to lay on the couch and watch.
Well, yeah, who doesn't? But you have such a great.
You could teach that. Teach that to the people who are coming from other countries.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't know what to do with leisure time. We don't have them in the countries we come from.
Yeah.
Let me show you how to sit on a couch and watch TV.
Yeah.
And break open some bonbons.
Well, the thing that has allowed Lisa to put up with me for so long is
the couch.
Is the thing that makes her such a great teacher. Is her flexibility, her ability to understand people. And, you know, she doesn't, like, try and change them. She just kind of rolls with the flow. Would you say that's true?
Yeah. And I think I like crazy people, too. So there's an attraction.
I don't see the connection there. What are you trying to say?
I think you're going to like this party we're going to in a little bit. There's our friends David and Allison.
Yes.
David's been a guest on the show
in the past.
Yes, and there's going to be random British friends of theirs who are there. And I just like having random British people around. Mm. That just makes me feel very comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because they just sound
I don't
good.
Say,
it's just like, ah.
I have some thoughts on that, but I'm not going to say it on the air.
What is that?
I'm not going to say it on the air.
Okay, that you don't like British people.
No, I like the sound of their voice, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't like their food.
No, food's fine.
No, you like the food.
You don't like the Queen being on our money.
No, that's fine. I like that a lot, actually. I like the Queen.
Have you heard about the laser pointer trick you can do with the with any Canadian dollar?
The loonie?
No, you can't do it with that.
Well, that's a dollar.
All right, but like a dollar bill.
A dollar is a... There's no such thing as that anymore. You know that, right?
Okay, but a dollar...
We're talking about Galaxy Quest. He's going right back to the 90s. Sorry, what was that?
I put up with this every fucking week, so...
I put up with it every day.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You are my hero. The word hero is thrown around...
Are you talking a $5 bill?
I'm talking any denomination of bill.
Okay.
All right.
$5 and up.
Right.
Okay.
You take a laser pointer, the kind that you would use to annoy people at a movie theater. No one does that anymore, and good for them stopping doing that.
Yeah.
As a society, we all went, fuck that, we're not doing it anymore.
I don't remember that.
Hooray.
I do remember being used for cats.
Yes.
Or dogs. Dogs.
Yes, like or the kind that you use for cats or dogs. Here's what you do.
Yeah.
There is a little clear spot in the corner, and if you shine the light through it, you can project onto your wall the denomination of the bill.
Oh, neat.
This is a true thing. You can also do it, apparently, and again, I just learned this from the internet today.
Yes.
You can do that looking through it on your Christmas tree. You can see it then clearly as well. If you look at one of your Christmas lights, it will show up. But it's fun to do it with the laser pointer, and then you just shine.
I don't have a laser pointer, so someone will have to demonstrate that for me.
Well, maybe, you know, there's lost presents. Maybe there's still one lost present.
There's still a laser pointer somewhere out
there. Put it in a bag just to piss him off. Christmas bags.
Why did I get this Christmas day?
God, I love Christmas bags so much.
I'm,
you just buy the thing, put it in
understand.
A bag. You know? The amount of times I've had to wrap things in a car on the way to a thing.
Yeah.
And I used to be a professional wrapper.
That's why I like buying McDonald's instead of making dinner.
I can't believe you didn't jump on the professional wrapper thing. I
had a point to make.
Fair enough. But I used to have to wrap things professionally and made so many people sad because I was terrible at it. And there's no reason I should have been doing this. They gave me no training. And everyone was just like, oh. It's like, do you wrap things? Yes, but you shouldn't get me to wrap it.
I made my dad teach me how to wrap, which was impossible to get my dad to teach me stuff. Like, I tried to get him to teach me how to shave because I felt like, I don't know what I'm doing. He's just like, I'm going to take the razor and just pull it down. I'm like, what? How? What? Like, I don't understand. Like, where? What? What do you do? So I spent the longest time in the world, like, shaving up on my face, which is terrible for your skin.
As long as we're just talking about your face, that's fine then.
Yeah, where else do you shave?
Okay. Anyway, keep going. Otherwise, you shouldn't be doing this with your dad. Keep going. Yeah.
But I made him teach me how to rap, and he's a really good rap. My dad's a really good present rapper. So, and he's not a great rapper, though, because he's white.
Okay, yeah. There, we finally got to it. All right.
He says, I'm Robert D., and I'm here to say, all white dads rap this way.
Yep.
Sorry, I stopped the show.
I just left that delights you every time you do it.
I know.
That's great.
I do it at home all the time as well.
No, I've been shown how to rap. I just don't know. Then it's like a card trick. It's someone goes, you just shuffle like this. Then you do the hidden shuffle. Then you do the force. Then you do the flippity flap. And there you go. And it's like, okay, I know. But this now I have to rehearse this constantly. And I only need to rap things maybe 3 times a year.
Yeah.
So this is a skill that I'm not going to master by any means.
Yeah.
So to hell with it. And gift bags. Chunk. There. Done. Enjoy. Or what I would use is I just take comics and I wrap them in the comics pages, and people seem to like
those. I do that too. I wrap birthday presents in the newspaper. Yeah. Especially if you can get the day of the person's birthday.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. This was on the front page of your birthday.
Oh, that's very, very sweet.
Sometimes it's pretty awful.
Well, yeah, that's a horrible tragedy. You know what? Don't get the front page then.
Get the
entertainment section. There's nothing wrong with that.
Sometimes there is.
Maybe there is. Yeah, that's true. Get the comics then.
Yeah. Who doesn't want Luann? Who doesn't want Luann? You're right. I'm doing comic pages from now on, everybody.
There we go. Folks, why don't you let us know? Do you prefer a gift bag or do you prefer a wrapping paper?
Not you doing it, but what do you prefer to get?
Right. Yeah. Also, who was your best teacher ever and why? Why not let us know that? There, because we're talking about teachers.
Do you have a best teacher?
Best teacher? Probably, oh boy. That's it. You know what? It was probably Colin Bint was probably one of my best teachers.
Okay.
He was a drama teacher, so it was a subject I liked.
Mm-hmm.
I also learned a lot under a teacher I didn't like, and that was Jack Godwin in Burnsview.
Okay.
He was a very stern disciplinarian.
Very stern. Carried a golf club around.
Carried a golf
class.
Club, whipped that golf club down on desks.
Yeah.
He was a bit of a jerk in some ways, but I learned a lot in his class.
He was a good teacher. He was very entertaining.
Yes.
The horrible thing in the class was that he had a lazy eye. And so he was very stern, very strict, and carried this golf club. And so you knew he was going to get mad about something. And then he would ask someone a question. And there was two people in the class that didn't know, was it me or was it that guy? We didn't know who he was looking at.
Yep.
And it would get really confusing. And then he got super nervous in that class. But he was a good teacher.
Yeah. Right? And he would also tell you not to get herpes because it was terrible and he had it. And
oh,
he was
dear.
Like, don't get it.
What?
Kids wear a condom.
I don't remember
be getting herpes.
I don't remember that lesson. And he and another social studies teacher would sing at lunch hour.
Yep.
We'd get
Carl
their guitars
Moser.
Out. Yeah. We'd get their guitars out and sing.
And you wouldn't like him because it'd be popular songs. He'd be like, boo!
In those days, they're more like older 70s
He'd have
songs.
Debates with you, but I was always have a kid behind me because I was a very bullied kid who would be kicking me in the back. So I would have to be making the debate while the guy's just booting me in the spine. And I'm like, how do you not see this? I know you got one lazy eye, but like, you got to be seeing this shit.
Yeah.
So I've always kind of been a little pissed off at him about that and not seeing that nonsense. Any good teachers that you remember from when you were a kid?
Yeah. In elementary school, I had, because we were in a very small school, 100 kids, we had split classes, so I had the same teacher for grade 4, grade 5. That was Miss Dergossoff. This is
the year before you went blind?
Yes, that's right. And so...
A Little House on the Prairie reference.
So then, yeah, she was kind of strict, but she also really cared, and we had been in this sort of loosey-goosey 1970s, like, do whatever you want thing. So she was a little bit more old school, like, you're going to learn some math, you're going to learn some socials, you're going to learn some science. And actually, in the whole time I was at that school, it's the only teacher that actually did that. Grade 6 and 7 was even worse, because our teacher gave us the math book at the beginning of the year, said, go at your own pace. So by spring break, I was on page 27. and then in high school, for English in grade 11 and 12, I had Mr. Sahadio. And so he had been a teacher who was brought in for the gifted program in Langley.
Okay.
And then they cut that program.
I discovered there were no gifted students in Langley.
Yeah. No. So they cut that program. And,
the wrapping was too hard.
Yeah, we ended up with him.
Yeah, they just have gift bag students.
But yeah, he was good because it was pretty philosophical. Yeah. Oh. And he would... have us write essays a lot, but we did more talking. Well,
in class?
He talked, we listened. Yeah, other people talked. I listened. but yeah, it was really good. And he, yeah, treated people with great respect. I thought that was, yeah, very wonderful. Just though he could see potential in people.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I guess I would say my favorite teacher was Mr. McGinnis at North Delta. Mm-hmm. He was my English teacher in grade 12. And I liked him because, yeah, once again, he was a strict teacher. He had very set guidelines and what he wanted from us, you know, and in those days, school was, you know, they couldn't do it now, but at that time, if someone was, you know, he set out the rules at the beginning of the year, you know, he said, if you're late, if you're here after the bell, the door will be closed. And that was just the rule. You know, I'm going to make you write up a mark sheet, and I want you to keep a tally of all your marks. If you don't keep a tally on the sheet, you will lose a grade. You'll go down a grade. So he set everything out for us, so we knew what the rules were when we started the year. So yeah, when someone was late, the door was closed. It didn't matter if it was the best looking girl in the school and she begged at the door, he didn't open the door. You know, so many other teachers would be like, this rule is set, da da da, and then there'd be a good looking girl at the door begging the teacher, and he'd be like, well, I can certainly let her in the class because this rule it's not as strict as that, right, guy? You know, but if it was you, you'd be like out of luck, right? So I like the fact that, you know, it's just like set rules, you know, like I got my first term mark, I got a C-, mm-hmm. which was wrong. I was supposed to have an A. So I went to him and I said, there was a mistake in the report card and I got a C- instead of an A. And he said, oh, let me see your mark sheet. So I gave it to him. He looked at it. He said, you're right. According to your marks, you should have an A, except you forgot to add up your marks on your mark sheet. So I'm going to put you down to letter grade. You're going to get a B+. And I was like, fair enough, because I didn't follow. You said the rule and I didn't do it. So that's fair, right? Plus, it was the first term. I knew that if I got two more A's in the class, I would get an A at the end. So I wasn't crying, but at the same time, he was right, you know, and I like the fact that that's just the way it is, you know, it was my fault and da da da. So yeah, but what made him really good, he's a British teacher and he would make it come alive, like all the stuff we learned, like it was so interesting, so fascinating. Like I've never laughed ever at Gulliver's Travels. Like, this is not that funny a story, right? Mm-hmm. But he made it hilarious. Just the way he approached it and what we read it and he just made it come alive. And the same thing with Hamlet. Like, for the longest time before we read Hamlet, he would stop in class and he'd point out the window and say, oh, look at that cloud. Is that cloud shaped like a whale? Doesn't that look like a whale? And then he'd point and everyone would be looking out the window like, what is he talking about? Like, that's weird. And then you get to the scene in Hamlet where Hamlet's pretending to be mad and talking about a cloud that looks like a whale. Then you're like, oh, but it connects in that way that it makes it, you know, you're just like, oh my God, how long is this Hamlet play? You know, and then you get to that scene, you're like, what? I see what he did there. Oh my God. You know, so it just made it more interesting and come alive, you know, and yeah, it was good. Plus he didn't make us read it. So he didn't get a lot of kids going, Hamlet said, you know, blah, 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 Polonius, blah, 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 blah. No, it was him reading to us in a very interesting way. So it kept it interesting.
We had I went to the same school as you, and he was very, very good. There was another English teacher, and I forget her name, but she would make us read it. But we were a bunch of hams.
Oh, that's
and
all
so
right.
it was fun. And one of the most fun times I ever had was reading The Tempest.
Mrs. Nielsen?
Don't think so.
Mrs. Zwick?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
I've run out of my. Those I, are the two
we
can,
we've ahead. Got the annual
get the
here.
Annual
we can check
we can
it.
Pull it down.
But yeah, it was The Tempest was a roll on the floor laughing riot. Yeah. So
because of the people reading it,
we all had a good time. Well, I believe Shakespeare also had something to do with it. He did write the words. It's an interesting play.
Yeah, I never read The Tempest. It's good. We just did the run.
If
of
you
the,
like the X-Men, the there's a lot of the same shit in The Tempest.
Hmm.
You like your beast, you like your storm, you like your all these characters.
You like your Calibans.
One thing, I'll do it real quick because I know we're running out of time here. I do a show called The Critical Hit Show, which is a D&D show. I haven't plugged it for a long time. We do it last Wednesday of every month at the Real Theater. But me and Eric both, who's another person in the cast,
yeah.
Both went to Burnsview as we did. Him at a later date. But we mentioned Colin Vint, the person the yeah. drama teacher.
Yeah.
And we got like four different people at various parts of the room going, woo! And I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, nice. He passed away a couple of years ago, yeah, yeah. but it was like, oh, this nice. And we were just kind of delighted to hear that. Then that's we went, nice. Oh, all our Burnsview bashing must really hurt these people too, maybe. Or maybe they,
I doubt it very much.
No, if you got through Burnsview, you can get through anything.
I enjoyed it.
No, it was a hellhole. So why don't you wrap up the show?
I know you feel that way.
Oh, it's awful.
All right, I'm going to wrap up the show when. So, everyone.
All right. Boy, remember that.
You want to contact us.
You get this 24/7, huh?
To Facebook and to our Sneaky Dragon page on Facebook and contact us there. You can go to our message board at sneakydragon.com. And leave a message for us there. We always appreciate comments. Please don't say bad things about my voice. Little Dave has very, very thin skin. That's what I'm saying.
It really does. You can also see all of his bones yeah, right through it. It's very disturbing.
That's very true. You're being kind of gross. And it's making me feel sick. Anyway.
He threw up candy canes. Why is that?
You can also contact us by email at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com.
No one can hear what you're saying right now with that. sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Or
sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. And you can contact
in case of emergency, call Gibbicapoopopo.
You can also contact us at @sneaky_dragon on Twitter, where you will find our Twitter account. So everybody.
That's kind of a ghost town. Let's admit it. Tumbleweeds are blowing
our
by.
Sneaky Dragon account. Yeah, it yeah. is. I apologize.
Like everyone's Twitter account.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of, anyway.
It's what the blogs used to be of the past.
Yeah, yeah. Well, dear, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you coming down.
You're welcome.
Sullen nod.
I thought, I really thought you were going to tell like a great story about me, but you didn't, so.
That's what you do every week. What's left?
What? That's great stories. You have some good stories about me, but you didn't tell me. So that's fine. It's fine. You know.
There's actually no reaction to that. None. If this was a movie, I'd be going, did it freeze? Did the screen freeze? I should hit play again and make sure it's going.
She knows I'm joking. So everybody, thank you for tuning into our show. The oldie wed game. And Ian, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to all of you.
Happy New Year, everyone. Bye-bye. Another one in the can.